Over half the world's penguin species are currently imperiled by climate change. For some species, like the emperor penguin, which is found only in Antarctica and is an ice-dependent species, its sea ice habitat is literally melting away. The emperor penguin and other species are also impacted by changes in their food supply. Less ice in portions of the Southern Ocean means less algae growth on the underside of that ice, less krill and fish as the impacts ripple up the food chain, and penguins are largely tied to land, or ice in the case of the emperor penguin, for breeding and raising their young. And when global warming changes not only the amount of penguin food that's available, but sometimes moves those food sources hundreds of miles from where they might ordinarily be, penguins can't follow that far, they won't get enough to eat, they'll suffer, and they'll decline. We're currently in litigation with the Department of Transportation because despite the fact that we have a law in this country that says the department must set fuel economy standards at the maximum feasible level, we still have the lowest fuel economy standards of any industrialized nation, and lower even than some developing nations like China. The transportation accounts for about a third of overall global warming pollution in this country, and increasing fuel economy standards for cars and trucks is one of the most important things we can do to fight global warming. That's why we have filed a lawsuit over the fuel economy standards for SUVs and pickup trucks nationally for model years 2008 and 2011, because they are much, much too low. We can and must do better. There are so many things that people can do in their own lives to reduce their own carbon footprint. Things like purchasing solar panels to generate their own electricity and solar water heaters in order to generate free hot water from the sun. These systems work wonderfully and they're very cost effective. Things like driving less if you can, telecommuting, switching to a more fuel efficient car. All of these things are necessary, they're important, and they're very, very satisfying. But personal action alone is not sufficient to get us to where we need to go. We need to ultimately reduce greenhouse gas emissions to a small fraction of what they are today. And that means we need political action. We need new federal legislation that caps and then rapidly reduces greenhouse gas pollution. So people should call their elected representatives, their senator or their representative, and tell them that they're concerned about global warming and that we need new legislation to address it. If they want tips on contacting their representatives, those are available on our website at biologicaldiversity.org. It's also very important for people to support wonderful conservation institutions like the Aquarium of the Pacific. I truly believe that this story will end happily. We have enormous risk from climate change, but with enormous risk comes enormous opportunity, and we have the solutions available today to slow and stop global warming. Our barriers are political, they're not technological. And one of the most exciting things about working on climate change issues is that the things we need to do to start solving global warming, things like increasing energy efficiency, increasing fuel economy, switching to more renewable sources of energy, and ultimately changing our land use and transportation patterns, these are all things that will improve our quality of life, they will strengthen our economy, and they will make the world a better, safer, cleaner, freer, and more equitable place for all of us. So I think that there is still time to save the polar bears and many, many other species at risk if we can rise to the challenge as a society, if we can get started reducing greenhouse gas pollution today. It's also very important that wonderful conservation institutions like the Aquarium of the Pacific let people know what they can do to make a difference.